Friends, it's Morgan and Sherry Snyder, and we are honored to welcome you into another episode of the Become Good Soil podcast. We are nearing Christmas, and it's the Advent season, a season of waiting, a season of expectancy, the season of the seed. And in this season, we have a gift for you today. It's a tradition that we offer at Become Good Soil, a gift for you to strengthen, to nourish, to care for your hearts as you move towards the season of celebration of the incarnation. And so Sherry has for us today a meditation. This podcast will be one of deeper reflection, a slowing down, a noticing, and an opportunity to receive love, to increase wonder, and perhaps to open your heart more to the awe of who God is and how he's here with us, making available to us his kingdom here and now.
Hello from Colorado Springs. This is Sherry Snyder, and I am here to share with you an experience of an Advent reflection. And I just want to put out a disclaimer that this is an experiment, and it's been on my heart, and so I wanted to offer it. By way of introduction, one of the concepts that I'm experiencing through my mental health counseling program that's just really making an impression on me is this concept of what we would call corrective emotional experiences. So it's CEE would be the acronym, corrective emotional experiences. And one of the big questions that the Become Good Soil, Morgan, me, our friends and allies around the world, you all of us together have been reflecting on is, how do humans change? How are we transformed? As we often reflect here at Become Good Soil, we recognize that we are transformed primarily by experience, so not by information. When we have new experiences that are embodied, that have an emotional tone to them, that those are exceptionally potent when it comes to transformation. We see that these potent emotional experiences can be both constructive, as in they transform us positively, and as I've often, Morgan has been reflecting on with me, that our charged emotional experiences can also be the ones that injure us, especially those that happen in isolation or without a context to connect and heal. What I wanted to explore today is this concept of a corrective emotional experience related to the birth of Jesus. As we reflect on the mystery of our union with Christ, that we are his body, that we are united to him in his life, and his life is united to ours, we have this invitation to enter into, with our imaginations, with our memory, with our own bodily reflection, to enter into Christ's life. And so what I wanted to invite us to explore is to enter into his birth together. His birth, not watching his birth, but what it might be like to be connected to Jesus in his body, in his birth. One of the trailheads for this reflection for me has been reflecting more on the life of Mary, Jesus's mother. And as you all might know, I grew up in a Protestant environment, and not just a Protestant environment, but a Protestant environment that had a strong modernist bend. And what I mean by that was that, in the positive sense, a modernist bend that depended heavily on an idea that we could know reality best through the scientific method. And then secondly, a strong dose of skepticism. As Dallas says, dogma is something that we have to believe whether we want to believe it or not. And the modernist approach said, hey, let's not just believe dogma because we have to believe it. Let's really think deeply about it and reflect on it. So in that Protestant space with a strong modernist approach, there was a lot that had been, if you might say, deconstructed in my environment growing up as a child, for example, there had been the negation of the concept of Jesus working miracles. That was not something that was honored in my Christian context growing up. Secondly, was the virgin birth. In the context of my childhood, the virgin birth was thought to be something that had been attached to the experience of Jesus and Mary from a dogmatic perspective that didn't reflect reality. And so in my adult life, as I've sought the kingdom and sought to follow Jesus to reflect on the small d dogmas that I was given as a child, for example, the reverse dogma of, the rejection of the miraculous, as I've sought to inquire and reflect on these aspects of a version of the Christian faith that I grew up in and come into an appreciation for a worldview that incorporates the miraculous, it has led me to reflect again on the virgin birth. And as I have been reflecting on the virgin birth, just taking some deeper dives into not only the documents of the New Testament, but some of the documents around the canonized documents of the New Testament. For example, there's a document that's called the Proto-Evangelium of James that was said to be written around AD 120. So it would have been written shortly after the death of Jesus's mother, Mary, within decades of Mary's death. And part of that document, though it's not canonized, it contains some of Mary's story. And it was something, a document that was cherished, at least in several communities of the early church. What we learn in that document is that Mary had been consecrated from her birth to God by Anne, her mother, who we know, in at least in the West, as Saint Anne. She dedicated her daughter, Mary, to God. And that it is said that when Mary came of age, as she was approaching her adolescence, she wanted to agree with her mother's dedication of her life to the God of Israel and basically become what we might call in our day and age a consecrated virgin, that she wanted to give herself to a life of worship and dedication and devotion to God, the God of Israel. And if we think about her being a part of an environment that was awaiting the Messiah, that there was a stirring of faith. Here we are in occupied Israel, occupied by the Roman government, and there's this young woman named Mary who was stirred with devotion for the God of Israel, the God of her ancestors, and wants to make a vow of commitment to God expressed through becoming a virgin. In other words, disavowing motherhood, disavowing the normal life of a Jewish young woman. And so if we take that, and again, just for the purposes of our reflection today, if we let that story seed in us, not on the level of dogma for this conversation, but on the level of rounding out our imagination of the mother that Jesus was born to, and who Mary was, and what her life in God was, and how she carried Jesus in her womb and birthed him and raised him such that he could become the kind of human whose attachments were so strong, his attachment system that he was able to attach to Father God through and able to attach to his disciples through, able to attach to the men and women that God, the Father, brought into his life. His body was loved by a woman who had a deep life in God, by his mother, and that he was, to use the language of attachment, he was consistently seen, consistently soothed, consistently secure, and consistently safe in his relationship with his mother. And so I wanted to just use that as prologue for what we will reflect on today. So friends, as we prepare for this reflection, oftentimes it helps to move a little bit first, so that then we can quiet in our body to reflect deeply and come to stillness. So if you'd like, wherever you are, just invite you maybe to just take a moment, if you're sitting, to come to standing. And if you're doing something different while you're listening, maybe to shift into a different level of attention. And if you're standing right now, I just invite you to take a deep inhale and allow your arms to sweep high over your head. And on an exhale, draw your hands back through to your heart. And two more of those big circle sweeps of your arms. So standing strong, in breath, sweep your arms out to the side and up high for a full body stretch. And then bring your hands back down. And then notice as we're standing, if there's any other way you'd like to move, maybe you'd like to bend side to side, or maybe you'd like to just do some gentle twisting, just feeling into our bodies for a moment before we sit down to reflect. When you feel ready and well, I just invite you to find a comfortable seat. Just notice where you find yourself. So let's take a few moments to come present to this moment. Just notice where your body is connecting to whatever surface you are sitting in. And take a moment to notice perhaps any sensations against your skin, texture of your clothing, maybe the temperature of the air. And then if you'd like, taking a moment to bring one hand over your heart and maybe one hand on your belly. Sometimes even just under kind attention of bringing just gentle connection of our hand to our heart center and our other hand to our belly, that our body starts to receive invitation to come into a slightly different state of rest and attention. And so taking just some deep breaths here. And finally, friends, I just invite you to scan just your body. We'll start with our head, drawing our awareness to our scalp and to our face, to our eyebrows, to the corners of our eyes, to the tiny muscles on the outside of our eyes, and just inviting softness there. Drawing our awareness to our cheekbones and our jaw, inviting our jaw to soften. And then noticing, friends, perhaps just our breath at the level of our nose. Take a moment to inhale deeply through our noses. Just notice perhaps the temperature of the air inside your nostrils. And drawing our awareness down our necks and to our throat. Just notice any sensation in your throat. Maybe you have a little sore throat today, maybe a little scratchy throat. Maybe you notice your throat feels kind of tight. Sometimes for me, when I'm feeling my body's registering some anxiety, it shows up in my throat. Sometimes when my body's registering sadness, it shows up in my throat. Just noticing. And drawing our awareness to our shoulders. So often for me, it's in my shoulders that I seek to, as Dallas Willard might say, to pull the load of my life. So I've come by that habit honestly, just inviting my shoulders to soften down. Drawing your awareness, friends, down your arms to your hands. And blessing your hands, friends, the way that you reach out into the world to seek to extend the rule and reign of Jesus's upside down kingdom. We honor your hands. And then drawing our awareness down just through our bellies into our pelvises, just noticing, honoring, and then down all the way to our precious feet. We think of Paul's reflection that our feet might be shod with the shoes of readiness that come from the gospel of peace, an attentiveness to God, a readiness to move when he says to move, and to be still when he invites us to be still. So Lord Jesus, thank you for this time to reflect on your birth. Thank you for this time to come together as a collective, as a body, as your siblings. And Jesus, to explore what it might mean to receive from you a fresh corrective emotional experience, or corrective embodied experience, if you will, that we can join our bodies to your body. God, whatever our experience was in the womb, whatever part of that was positive for each one of us, whatever dimension of that might have had challenging aspects to it, we're curious today together about what it was like for you to be in Mary's womb. What it was like, what our Father in heaven ordained for you to sow the seed in your body and in your nervous system, Jesus, of secure attachment, so that you could grow and become the kind of man who, from your integrated being, could respond to enemy and friend with blessing. All the more in the moments, Jesus, of your life where those two were one, where those who you had entrusted yourself to in friendship, those who you loved deeply from your heart, wavered in their capacity to be faithful to you, or turned against you. And Jesus, you were able to say before the heart of our Father, Father, forgive them. Hold nothing against them. And so Jesus, come. So friends, invite you to imagine if we take by faith that Mary had devoted herself to the God of Israel in a special way, that she had a fullness of heart, an aliveness of mind, and a wholeness in her own humanity, that she could offer something to the God-man in utero that would be essential and ordained for his becoming. That she devoted herself to God. So we call to mind what it is for a baby to be in utero toward the end of a pregnancy. Completely safe. Completely secure. Profoundly soothed by the way that God, the Creator, had ordained for humans to be. We think of this amniotic fluid, warm, perfectly temperatured, that surrounds us. All of our needs met. So we think of Jesus in utero well. We imagine Mary as a devoted Jewish woman who would have had so many of the Psalms committed to memory, that Jesus in his time in her womb would have heard her voice reciting the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That as his senses had begun to develop, he would have been surrounded by the songs of his people, by the scriptures, by the movements and the liturgy of prayer, that surrounded the Jewish culture of those faithfully expectant of the Messiah. So friends, I just invite us to imagine being with Christ, completely well, prepared to be born into a community of faith, expectancy and trust in God. And friends, what we know of the miracle of the birthing process as it relates to breath. So as you may recall, that in utero, a baby receives oxygen through the mother's placenta and the umbilical cord. And so instead of receiving oxygen through breathing through the baby's lungs, the oxygen goes straight into the baby's bloodstream. And what happens profoundly is that the baby actually, the lungs, the baby's lungs produce a hormone that fills them with a fluid that connects as well to the mother's amniotic fluid. And so that the baby practices breathing in this state of the amniotic fluid that the baby's lungs are developing, and the baby is beginning to practice even before the baby is ready to breathe air, so the lungs can develop. And I became curious about how does a baby go from having lungs full of amniotic fluid and the fluid that the baby's own lungs are producing to being able to breathe air within moments of birth. And what fascinates me is that the way that God designed the birthing process is that the contraction that the baby experiences as the mother's uterus begins to contract and the challenge of going through the birth canal stimulates in the baby's body to begin to clear the baby's lungs of the fluid, making space for the baby to breathe upon birth. And so if we think of this, friends, that the stress, if you will, the stress of the birthing process is what prepares the baby to be able to take his or her first breath. But it is not stress without support. Is it not true that as humans, that the way it seems that our Father designed us to grow is through challenging experiences with adequate support that then allow us to move forward into the next season of our lives? And so we think about this marvel of Jesus as he's preparing for his own birth, that those hormonal challenges that happen within him in response to his mother's body preparing to bring him into the world, the stress of that is met with support, that even the Son of God endured that stress, but was not diminished by it because he was met with support. So we call to mind Jesus in his precious little body, and friends, us in ours. And whatever the stressors are in your life right now, dear ones, in the name of Jesus, and by the provision of the Trinity, by spirit and in flesh, Jesus, would you come into the places in us that are experiencing stress right now? Would you draw around us adequate support that we could come through whatever passage we are in our lives with the capacity to receive exactly what we need to move forward? And so friends, as we call to mind Jesus's birth, his lungs have been prepared through the challenge of the birth canal to take his first breath. We imagine and we feel Jesus' first breath with him. Part of what stimulates a child to breathe is the radical change in temperature that happens when the baby leaves his or her mother's body. And again, the discomfort of the transition is part of the process of the becoming. So even precious Jesus, in those moments where he makes his way out of Mary's body and feels the cold, just for a few moments before he's wrapped and held against his mother's chest and wrapped in her arms, that process, that discomfort is part of what allows the Son of God to begin breathing. So imagine, precious little one, being held against his mother's warm skin, wrapped in her arms, swaddled in soft cloth, finding his breath and receiving care after that temporary stress. We imagine him hearing the heartbeat of his mother, the heartbeat with which he was utterly familiar. We imagine his body returning to rest, receiving everything that he needs. We imagine dear Joseph, so proud, so in awe, the coming of this child. Emmanuel, God with us, God newly born. Friends, I'll just read a few scriptures as we bring this time to a close. From Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you, God of Israel, have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and his peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal and faithfulness of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God.
Friends, it's a gift and an honor to walk with you by day and by decade, through seasons of our apprenticeship, So as we sit at the eve of a Christmas season and the eve of another year coming to a close and another year opening, we pray that in every place and pocket of darkness that you find yourself, that you would open yourself and welcome light. That in every place of darkness, light would come. There would be dawn rising. And that in every place of need, you would find a wonderful counselor bringing for you advocacy, instruction, leadership, and care. In every place of need, that God would be mighty on your behalf, that you would experience his power and his prevailing goodness. That in every place of need, the Prince of Peace would make himself known, that the peace of God would manifest very particularly, very vastly in your life, that the peace of God that transcends understanding would guard your heart and guide you through the season and into the new year. Friends, we bless you. And we look forward to you joining us for another episode of the Become Good Soil podcast.